Hello and welcome everybody to the Return on Intelligence podcast. I am delighted today to welcome our special guest, who is the Vice President of Customer Experience at Churn Zero, Lucas Alexander. Lucas is a distinguished customer experience leader with over a decade's experience successfully building and scaling global customer success teams. Lucas has a profound passion for customer success, so I'm really thrilled that he's with us here today to explain what that means, also with experience in customer success operations and career coaching for customer success managers. I think importantly, Lucas also stands out in the dynamic realm of customer experience because he is a transformational human-first leader. So I'm thrilled to welcome him today, and off we go. Lucas, welcome to the Return on Intelligence podcast. Great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me, Rich. Really, really happy to be here and to have a really great conversation today.
Fantastic. So listen, just to kind of get to definition of terms, there may be a lot of folks who are listening to this who know what customer experience is or what customer success management is, but it would be helpful if you could perhaps just give us a simple definition, perhaps something that a 10-year-old would understand.
Yeah. For sure. So I always like to think about, you know, customer success in two different angles, I would say. The first being obviously customer success carried out by CSMs, right? Customer success managers typically. It's all about, you know, we hear a lot of this, you know, about customers achieving their outcomes. But we also talk a lot about, you know, what customers, how a customer might define value, right? So in customer success, what a CSM primarily aims to do, typically with tech or SaaS-based services, is to really act as the customer's strategic advisor, to listen, understand, and advocate for the customer's objectives. So what they came to the, you know, to your company to try and achieve, and also recommend like what the best path to success is, to really help achieve those desired outcomes with a product or with a service. So that's typically how I look at, you know, what, and that's done through different, you know, different tactics, whether that be through success planning, through driving adoption. And essentially that's carried out by the CSM. But also the other way I like to look at customer success is just as from a business mindset perspective, companies can adopt, right, a customer success mindset across the entire organization through the different teams, the different departments, and how those departments really having a strong understanding how each one of those departments actually directly or potentially indirectly impacts the customer's experience at the end of the day, right? And having that mindset of how all of those pieces in the puzzle, right? All of those cars on the train really contribute to delivering the whole package to the customer, right? So really looking at it from a customer success, like a profession, but also as a business mindset.
Yeah. And it sounds like, of course, there's a lot of customer learning and education and engagement that is involved in this. And perhaps that's someplace we can really kind of focus today, because a lot of the people listening to this will be involved in the learning and development space, in the upskilling space. So how to upskill customers, but also perhaps how to upskill customer success professionals to be able to effectively work with customers. I'd love to focus a little bit on that today, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, for sure. And right, customer enablement teams, customer enablement specialists are often a key part of that, that customer success mindset within the organization, delivering that area of the customer journey. So yeah.
And of course, you're at Churn Zero, you know, which is one of their premier customer success platforms, software platform that gives that capacity for customers to really gain insights, and for CSMs, customer success managers, to work with all of the insights from there to educate customers. So given that, perhaps maybe the first thing I can ask you, because it's always useful to have case studies. What are some of the brands you're working with that have stellar customer success, and what are they doing that makes them so good?
Yeah, we work with so many different companies, brands of different shapes, sizes, backgrounds. And one of the one thing at the end of the day that customer success really prides itself in and has done so for so many years is the organization and the CSM's ability to be proactive, right? And proactively engaging customers. They don't just wait for customers to reach out with problems, right? They actively engage customers. They offer their support, offer their guidance. This might include things like, educational webinars or, personalized training or self-paced training enablement or regular check-ins, emails that offer, tips and best practices and things like that. So when I look at, all of the different brands that we work with, the different companies that we work with, our customers who are proactively engaging their customers, they're not sort of, on the back foot, waiting for a customer to reach out with a problem. They're proactively getting ahead of them. That's the number one thing, that we see with our customers that really makes them so good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because I have an experience with that with, of course, our own organization where we have a team of customer success managers. And so it's being proactive, as you said. And what we're finding is things like quarterly executive business reviews or things like we have something called an insider board where we have our most prominent and regularly engaged customers coming together. We share best practices with them. We hear from them. So there's a lot that goes into it, it sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. And you need some type of data to drive this, right? Like having the right listening posts in place, to pick up on the behaviors that potentially decrease customer health. So there needs to be the right listening posts in place. Now, whether you're doing that through a CSP, a customer success platform, or you have other ways of sort of understanding, even through, one-on-one discussions with your customers, having the right listening posts to be able to pick up on potentially, negative behaviors, and gives the CSM that sort of proactive edge they need to get ahead of customer challenges and ultimately, continuously and proactively removing those barriers that prevent a customer from being successful. And it's not just alerting or playbook triggers for things like, detractor NPS responses, when a customer starts exporting, a bunch of data from, your system. At that point, we're too late to be proactive, right? So I'm really talking about, giving CSMs the right mechanisms, whether, a CSP or not, to build on those, continuously building on those positive behaviors that make customers successful.
Yeah. So just again, to keep things simple, just to decode a little bit, before you get to what you call the detractor NPS score, what that means is a net promoter score, the extent to which a customer will endorse you. Again, just for folks who might not be familiar with this world and getting ahead of that, perhaps using data. I love your signposts, your listening posts there. And a platform like Churn Zero, right? This is what Churn Zero does, combined with the skill of the customer success manager. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's in my mind a big part of what we do, and tools that we can give CSMs to do their jobs is all about understanding data, understanding customer behavior, and turning all of that into something that a CSM can take a proactive action on, right? Some of the best proactive examples that I often speak about in discussions with our customers or different types of events is your customers have business objectives, right? They have, and one of the, like I mentioned earlier, one of the core responsibility of a CSM is to listen, understand, help define, and help the customer articulate those business objectives. But once they're defined, right, a CSM might have a few customers who may have similar objectives, right? So pulling what I like to call like a proactivity trigger here would be, for example, how about we send an email to those five or six customers in your book of business who have similar objectives and say something like, hey customer, as a CSM carries a book of business with many customers, and I actually have a few customers like you who are also trying to I don't know, you know, get customers to trial a new product or a feature. Why don't we all get on a call with, you know, those customers and talk about, you know, our approach and, you know, how we're driving trials to new product features and things like that. The beauty of something like that is that it not only, you know, the customer are going to feel that proactive engagement. The CSM is also, it's sort of two birds with one stone here, right? Like the CSM is also creating customer community there. So those are some of the classic examples or the examples of CSM proactivity that I love to hear our customers doing that I will recommend to our customers every day of the week. Because it really, customers know when they're getting that proactive touch, right? And that's the proactive touch that they're always longing for. And it's the proactivity goes a long way in securing things like renewals and expansions, et cetera. So.
Absolutely. So then building on that, and you think, as we think about the customer experience landscape, what are the most important things people should train on to help customers?
Yeah. Especially as a CSM, right? Like in a lot of companies, I see, you know, whether the CSM will only, you know, be that, you know, take a commercial angle, or a CSM will only take a technical product angle. I think, you know, companies and CS leaders need to train their CSMs to have heavy, you know, technical product knowledge. As a CSM, one of our main objectives is to make recommendations to our customers. And, you know, a customer needs to be able to trust that recommendation. And as a CSM, when you're going into a recommendation, you're telling a customer, you should set up, you know, this dashboard in this way for this reason. They know that you're coming in with a lot of that experience. You can tell as a customer that, hey, the CSM has done this several times for other customers like me. I should really take their recommendation seriously here. So I think a lot of, you know, companies need to invest in their CSM's technical product knowledge specifically. But also, you know, I think some of the soft skills, right? The ability to negotiate, for example. And negotiate, when I say negotiation, I don't always only think about, you know, negotiating a contract. I think, you know, there's a lot of negotiation that's always in play as a CSM when you're resolving a conflict or something like that. You know, it's all about finding that win-win with a customer at the end of the day. And I think that's a big part of what defines, you know, a really strong CSM is their ability to find a mutually beneficial agreement with a customer, being able to confidently do that. So investing in both the technical product knowledge and also some of the softer skills like, you know, negotiation for conflict resolution and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I love to, I have a different take on those skills. I like to call them core people skills, because there's not anything that's soft about having a conversation with somebody who has a competing agenda or an alternate set of priorities, yeah. Negotiations, things like that. So I think it's really important. And then you use things like empathy, curiosity, you know, learning mindsets, all these other things that I think are more like core people skills than necessarily being what we call soft skills. But I take your point that it's definitely not just the technical aspect. It's really that combination of both of those things that drive success.
Yeah. And I think one other thing I wanted to add here as well around, like, you know, when one of the things that often gets overlooked in a CSM sort of tool shed is, do we know how to properly educate our customers, right? Education and training as it's tied to, you know, customer success. So I really believe that, you know, by aligning, you know, educational efforts with, you know, the broader goal of helping customers achieve their objectives. You know, businesses can really drive that long-term value, that long-term loyalty with their customers, you know, empowering customers with, you know, knowledge and skills they need to succeed is, you know, half the battle, right? It's 50% of if a customer doesn't know how to use your product well, they're not going to, you know, maximize their value. So, I think, you know, the investing in customer success managers' ability to effectively train their customers, train their customers at the right moments and using the different tools, like whether that's through an LMS like Absorb, whether that is through, in-app walkthroughs, for example, or through things like academies, things like that. Those are all things that go a really long way and really need to gain a bit more, place and real estate in a customer success manager's skill set.
So, yeah, and then when the customer success managers do offer that kind of learning or educational journey to customers, inevitably there comes a point where there's some fall off. And so in terms of the customer's learning, what spots do you see the most drop off, and what are some of the methods to retain them so that they can continue the process, the journey of engagement as a customer?
I think it depends. There's so many different, I wouldn't say there's a common spot, but I would want to highlight a few critical areas, I would call them, because a lot of this depends on, other variables like, complexity of your product or, size of the team and things like that. But I did want to highlight a few critical areas that I've seen over the past several years as being a common drop-off point. And a lot of it actually starts in the first 30 days, that the customer has signed up with you, right? During that critical implementation phase, where, depending on the product or service that you sell, implementation onboarding can be action-packed, right? It could be a really scary time for a lot of customers and a lot of users. So, especially around things like, integrations and setup and bringing in data from different systems. So if you're a company that, this type of scenario resonates with, having a learning journey that, customers can do on their own while things are being set up on the side by your admin and with, the implementation and the technical team. Being able to be efficient in that way where, you have a few different tracks, you have an educational track, and then you have a technical track running in parallel, that's going to increase time to value, right? So that's one key area, and it's an area that starts, it's a part of the journey that starts right away, and that's that critical implementation period. The second spot that I typically have seen, drop off is when it comes to new users signing up after like midway through the relationship, for example, right? You're 6 months in, you're 7 months into a relationship with the customer, and they get, maybe they hire a new CSM, or maybe they hire a new, new team member, and then all of a sudden you have a new user. So yes, new users can go through the self-paced courses and, maybe have a session with their CSM, but a lot of companies don't ask their customers, do you have an internal new user onboarding plan at your organization, right? And I think that's tough because this one often relies on the customer to do this in the background. It's something that, as a CSM, you don't really have a lot of control over. But if companies and if CSMs can really give customers recommendations or things like, templates, or at the very least ask the question, hey, do you have an internal, new user onboarding plan, that's something that will cover, a lot of that new user enablement and making sure that as we, bring new people on board with us, new passengers on board, that they're getting that same experience that, passengers got when they left the station, right? And then the third thing is, I like to call it, it's the concept of everboarding, right? Those existing users. So the ones that got trained at the beginning, the ones that were enabled at the beginning, how often do they get, retrained? How often do they get refreshed? If it was a, like a set it and forget it, you're not going to go very far, right? I think companies need to double down on, that everboarding from different angles, whether that's through, in-app enablement, through like walkthroughs, tooltips, or, to how a company communicates new feature releases, or if you have seasonal customers, right, like EdTech, train those users at the start of the academic year, the school year, or things like that. So really, I would say, customer implementation, that new user enablement, and then that concept of everboarding is something that, companies really, really need to get right. And it's not a set it and forget it. right?
I love it. I love that. I love that term. I've actually never heard that, everboarding. And it is that continuous process that really keeps customers engaged and all the different things we can do to make that happen. Very, very helpful. So now for the customer success professional, that's a lot, right? That's a lot of ground to cover, the A to Z's of customer success. And I think about customer success professionals, I think about my own team members who are on the customer success team, and they have a huge scope and a huge charter, and they can face their own fatigue in training themselves and the customers with all these tools and processes. So what's something, in your opinion, that companies can do to help support, motivate their customer experience teams so that everyone has a better experience all around?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of this starts from, you know, top-down leadership. I think this is also when, you know, company culture plays a big, you know, role in, you know, avoiding things like, you know, burnout for CSMs. And, you know, you hear a lot of, you know, conversation around this on LinkedIn and on, you know, different socials. So, but I think from a corporate perspective, from a company perspective, you know, the ability for leaders or different, you know, people in the business to show, you know, gratitude, to show support, to show, you know, recognition, celebrate the wins. You know, we see, or, you know, here at Churn Zero, we have, you know, we have different Slack channels. You know, we actually have a shout outs channel where, you know, that thing is blowing up all day long, pretty much. But there's so much to celebrate, and people really get engaged. And, you know, after the pandemic, like, a lot of companies are still largely remote, I would say. Like, you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, in remote settings still, I would say. So having those types of opportunities to shout out, whether that's the leader. But the coolest thing is seeing, you know, CSM to CSM shout each other out, like being able to promote that culture. It doesn't only need to be a top down, it can also be lateral. I think those are some of the things as well that, you know, that needs to happen in an organization to continue to motivate their team. And I'm a firm believer in this, that, you know, the more we take care of our people, you know, the more and the more effective, they'll be a lot more effective in taking care of their customers. So, right, it is a trickle down effect. So it's definitely a big part in, you know, motivating our people to motivate our customers.
Yes. Part of our motto here, and you'll see it like is on our website, such as searching inward, leading outward. So 100%. Supporting yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, no. So that was, you know, and then also I think there's also the concept of offering, you know, professional development. You know, CSM, different people within the CX organization, or even, you know, in all departments within a company, you know, are coming with so many different, so much, you know, diversity in their backgrounds and, you know, the type of experiences that they're coming on board with. And so I think the more we can, you know, as a company, you can promote that, hey, I can come to Churn Zero, or I can come to, you know, Absorb, or I can join an organization and really feel like I can, you know, grow my career here. It's super motivating for you know, just a human being at the end of the day, to, you know, who has a family at home and, you know, who's you know, working to achieve some type of life goal or life objective there. So giving you know, your people that sense of, you know, I can grow my career, I can be successful here, and offering those, you know, development opportunities.
Right. And then also I think about the personal and professional development. So things like empathy or emotional intelligence are, you know, skills that can develop and help with life and work. But maybe that's the question I have for you. What role does empathy and emotional intelligence play in customer success teams? And how do you support teams to grow in that capacity?
Yeah, I think, yeah, empathy plays a role in all successful relationships in any capacity, right? Not just CSM teams. I think empathy plays a role in so many different, you know, parts of your life. But at heart, I would say, you know, most CSMs are empathetic, right? if you think of it, when I was a customer success manager, one of the things that I loved seeing the most is, you know, going to see on LinkedIn and one of my customers got a promotion, right? Now, you know that it's not, you know, you're not the, you probably indirectly or maybe even directly influenced that. You're likely not the only reason that that, you know, customer got a promotion, but I believe that in CX, right, like we focused our careers on helping other people succeed, right? CX people want to help. And so I think that being empathetic for our customers and helping them through, you know, listening to their teams, listening to their issues, you know, being with them, you know, every step of the way, and showing our customers that goes a really long way. And I think at the end of the day, the reason we do what we do in CX and in customer success is because we are naturally empathetic people and we want to help, you know, each other succeed. And so naturally we will, you know, generally be empathetic to customers, to each other, to our colleagues, and et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we see that all the time. And it's the good news is empathy and emotional intelligence. These are skills that are trainable like all skills. You just need to train on them as well. So I love that. And maybe that's where we could tie this all together. I really appreciated how you're talking about bringing some of those technical skills together with some of these core people skills like empathy and emotional intelligence for the success of the customer success professionals, but also, you know, how that translates for customers. So any last things to share with the audience, particularly in the broader arena of customer experience, any insights, like last sort of words of wisdom as we kind of wrap up here?
You know, I think at the end of the day, the more, whether you're in support, whether you're in customer enablement, whether you're a CSM or whether you do implementation, the more we treat each other, you treat your customers like human beings, right? We're empathetic. And the more we strive to really drive and achieve a win-win, a mutually, you know, beneficial, you know, agreement with the customer, that's really what we'll get, what will help each other, you know, achieve success, right? Your customer becomes successful, your company is successful, you are successful in your career, and you can grow your career and get even better at what you do every single day. So the more we focus on those areas, I think, you know, very simplistically, and those are areas we can focus in at work or even outside of work, right? That the more we'll all be successful. So, yeah, those are really some of the things that I like to lead with in my role. And, you know, I would challenge, you know, leaders, challenge, you know, customer success managers and whatever, you know, role you play in CX at your company, you know, to take a step back and try and think, you know, how can I help a customer achieve a win-win situation here and you know, really lead with humanity.
I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lucas, for sharing your insight and experience. And as advertised when we introduced you, kind of really focusing as well on this human-centric approach to customer success. So it's been great to have you here. Thank you again. And much success to you and your team as well, and to everyone who's listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Rich. This is a really great conversation, and hope we can do it again soon.